Hi, and welcome to Inside Windows Phone. I'm Larry Lieberman, product manager in the Windows Phone division here at Microsoft. Today, our guest is Brandon Furtwängler. Brandon is a software developer in the Xbox team, and he's one of the developers behind Taptitude, one of the most successful advertising-driven games on Windows Phone, and we thought it'd be really insightful to talk to Brandon today about some of the processes that went into building this game, some of the infrastructure behind it, some of the developer challenges he faced, and what makes it such a great success, so that, let folks know about different types of things that you've done that are successful to help you be successful. So, Brandon, why don't you tell us a little bit about, what drew you to building a Windows Phone game?
Basically, my brothers and I like to get together and code.
And you guys are the four brothers.
Yeah. So we call it Four Bro Studio.
Okay.
It's me and three of my brothers.
And let's just disclose, since you are a Microsoft employee, Microsoft did this whole motion early on in Windows Phone to enable all of our employees to write applications in their free time.
Right.
And so you guys heard about that and were interested in...
Yeah, so, we've had these projects that we just do. We started out actually making Xbox Live indie games.
Okay.
Microsoft had a similar...
With XNA.
...policy on... Yeah, with XNA. With indie games, where we could publish these indie games and actually take profits. There was a cap on the profits for the indie games, but, so we decided then to take advantage of the moonlighting policy, and we developed a game called Zoomaroom.
Okay.
That was our first indie
on
game.
On the console?
Yeah, it runs on the Xbox 360.
Okay.
I believe you can still go out and download it in the indie game
Zoomaroom?
Section. Yeah. So Zoomaroom was a physics-based platformer that had a whole bunch of levels and an in-game level editor, and mm-hmm. It was just kind of a fun game to run around and try to. It was kind of like a time trials game.
But then you heard about Windows Phone, and you wanted Windows Phone supports XNA development.
Yeah, and so that's what led us into Windows Phone. We took that game engine that we had developed, and we iterated on it for about a year actually, and then. With Windows Phone, that you're able to leverage XNA as well. So we migrated our engine over. It only took us about a day to get it up and running on the phone. We actually ported one of our other games that we did called Wayne the Brain over to the phone. It doesn't really work well with the phone, so we never released it. But just to prove that we got our engine up and running. And then we started working on a game that was targeted more for the mobile audience.
Taptitude, it's really amazing. It's kind of an interesting concept because it's not just one game, it's dozens and dozens of games.
Right. Yeah.
All sort of weaved together that you continually add. And you guys have gotten a lot of press recently about the fact that you're making quite a lot on, and we'll link to some of that on this page, about how you are actually making quite a lot of money on the advertising just on the impressions from the ads.
Yeah, so we released this blog post really just to show that, the Windows Phone Marketplace is a place where an indie studio can actually make a living.
Mm-hmm.
And, and we sort of followed suit. Some of the other developers in the community had done similar things where they would reveal their revenue. Albert Perez, I'll give a shout out to him. He sort of inspired us to do something similar. So we've been successful through making just a huge collection of mini games, we call them. Some of them are getting to the point where they could really stand on their own as standalone games. But mm-hmm. part of the value that we bring with Taptitude is that every week we update it with new content. So, we've done almost 50 updates to the Taptitude over the last year, and these bring new games. We started out with maybe 10 mini games that were really simple.
So there's four of you. How much time do you spend on this? Because that sounds like a lot of work.
Yeah, we do spend a decent amount of time. We've kind of got the process down where we, our engine allows us to pretty rapidly develop these games. So usually what we do is we stagger. One of us will be working on the next game. Another one of us will be working on the next major feature, because we're not just adding games. We're adding all these features that tie the games together. And then, maybe we'll have somebody starting on something more long-term. The other two are kind of like working on this long-term, bigger project.
Why don't you walk us through the game a little bit before we get too much further, just so folks can see what we're talking about.
Okay, so when you start the game, this is the title screen here. We just kind of scroll through the icons. All of these icons are the icons for the mini games.
It's a pretty engaging screen. Is this what happens when you first launch the app? You just come to this?
Yeah, okay. Exactly. you can see up at the top, that's sort of PubCenter's ads. We just leave that up at the top. And
so you're using Microsoft Advertising exclusively?
So semi-exclusively. For ad revenue, we use it. And then part of our marketing strategy was to use Ad Duplex.
Okay.
This actually, I mean, sort of got misinterpreted by some people on the blog. Like, at times we would do what we call like a marketing blitz, where we would, instead of showing all these PubCenter ads, mm-hmm. we would just replace those with Ad Duplex. And it's not really an ad; it's an exchange. So other games on the platform can show, you know, they're showing Taptitude ads.
Other people who subscribe to Ad Duplex.
Yep.
Ad Duplex, right?
And you know, we're in exchange showing their ads for their games.
Okay.
So if you look at the charts on our blog, you see these sort of dips in our revenue when we're doing these blitz, and that was you know, totally intentional. We were essentially spending that money that day to market instead of
right, because in return you get marketing on their
games. You know, we'll see more users, and you know, helps us go up in the leaderboard, you know, on the marketplace free games list and whatnot.
That's great. So here we are at the main menu. What do we do here?
So there's a few things you can do. Most people are going to jump right in with the play, so that's kind of the biggest button.
Yep, and the text is larger a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. But there's some other things I want to just call out. Like if you go into this messages section, we have these messages that we push down from our server that just go out to all users, and you know, and these. And we do these sort of fun things, like, well, obviously we're releasing our notifications whenever we update the game. We talk about, you know, like what was in this release. Our most recent release had this new mini game called Hexplosion, and so you can download it right from there. But then we also do this thing on Sundays called the Weekly Redeem Riddle, which is we just basically come up with a riddle. It's usually more of a play on words than mm-hmm. it is a riddle, and we give you if you answer that riddle correctly, then we give you a whole bunch of coins and loot and, you know, various
I love
other
what
things.
You're doing with the menu title bar, too, because it flips around in a really kind of clever,
yeah. And
you
so,
know.
You know, we call this Zoom UI. We sort of developed our own UI system. This is
that's a little more than most folks do when they build.
Yeah. We started out as just a pure XNA game. This was pre-Mango. Mm-hmm. There wasn't any hybrid apps. And so, you know, we wanted it to be an XNA game. We had a lot of experience with XNA, and so we decided to just sort of do our own UI system.
Cool.
And I think one of our goals in the future.
But what you're doing there is very much in line with a lot of our UX design principles about using animation in a delightful but not overwhelming way.
Right. Exactly.
So when you went into those messages, you see the menu flips up a little bit and gets smaller.
Yep, so we can see that again.
And you've got a little bit of a bounce there too. So you're using an easing function of some kind.
Yeah. Exactly. And we can look at the code for that. We have an animation system, and not, you know, that basically you can just say, I want to animate from this to that and mm-hmm. use this easing function. It's very much like Silverlight.
Right.
So we also have this, you know, some sharing and support, just some social stuff. You know, we call out right away. We want you to rate the game. Taptitude is the number one highest rated app, I believe, on Windows Phone. It's got over 14,000 ratings.
And then you, where's the rating? Where are you prompting people to rate?
So we just have this this button right here.
Oh, please rate. Yeah.
It says please rate. After you play the game a few times, we do prompt you.
Start prompting people.
We just ask you, you know, please rate the game. You know, you can say never ask me again, mm-hmm. That sort of thing.
Cool.
So then, you know, what you're going to do is go into the game. This is our sort of list of games that we have. So you can see we have like Game of the Day. This is a game that you get extra points if you play this game today. We, mm-hmm. You can also purchase, you know, with in-game currency.
Okay.
This is just currency that you...
Those are the coins that you've invented.
Yeah.
So you've got this whole notion of coins, and you win coins when you play games or answer riddles and...
Exactly.
...so forth.
So it's all based on earning these coins. Mm-hmm. And so when you play a game, so let's just... we'll go into Hexplosion. This is our new release game. So here you can see there's some stats, some leaderboards. You can pin this game to
you
the start
menu. You can
pin
a specific game, so you're deep linking directly into the game.
Exactly. So if you do that, then you'll get a tile on your home screen, and then you can go click on that tile, and it'll jump right into that game. You don't have to go through the rest of the menus if that's your favorite game.
Right. It's clever.
And then, so like every game has these star scores. So, you know, you need to get 600,000 points in Hexplosion to get a 5-star.
Okay.
And the way that that works is... the way the stars play in is you know, sort of one of the aspects of the game is you're trying to get 5 stars in every mini game.
Got it.
And we have stats that track, like, who's got, you know, who has the most stars and that sort of thing. But also, like, just to unlock games, so...
You've built your own social network, actually, it sounds like.
Yeah, sort of, you know, we've sort of done a lot of the, you know, concepts from Xbox Live, where you've got leaderboards and you've got... We couldn't really do achievements, but our replacement for achievements is stats.
Okay.
So we track just all kinds of little, even some mundane things, like the number of times that you've tapped on the screen. Mm-hmm. Total taps, right? So, like, you know, with this, you actually have to purchase this stat with in-game money, but okay. Had you purchased it, you know, right, you could get a gold badge if you tap on the screen 100,000 times. So that's,
wow.
You know, whenever you're playing Taptitude, you're tapping constantly, so that actually goes pretty quick. You know, if we look at the leaderboard for that, there's somebody who's tapped on our game 5 million times.
Doctor for baby brains.
Yeah, we'll give a call out to that guy.
Yeah.
So, you know, we have leaderboards associated with every stat. We have leaderboards associated with every game.
What you've got are a lot of the ingredients of an extremely compelling, you know, experience that draws people in. And it makes them, like, completely replay the game over and over and over again.
Yeah.
Because it's addictive. And
that's our number one goal here. When we first started, we sat down and we said, okay, what is, you know, what makes a good mobile game? And, mm-hmm. you know, for us, you know, we're, you know, we might have 5 minutes before the bus comes, or we might have, you know, a little break in between meetings at work or something where we whip out our phone and we play some games. But we don't have, you know, we don't want these big involved experiences where you're spending a lot of time.
No, you're looking for the more casual, more user-driven.
Yeah, and so we started out and we're like, okay, everything's got to be a 30-second to 1-minute experience where you can get in, play, have some fun, get a leaderboard entry.
This reminds me of Rogue back from, you know,
back
in the day. So a lot of these evoke kind of memes in existing games.
Oh, yeah.
That...
you know, we draw inspiration from all over the place. You know, we don't really even think of ourselves as game designers. Like, you know, we're building a game platform. And it's really the integration between the games that's the focus here. So, like, you know, a lot of these games will be very familiar. You know, some of them are more elaborate, like this game. You know, you can kind of tap on the screen, move your guy around.
Yep.
You know, there's a whole RPG element to this game. You can cast spells, summon creatures, all kinds of things.
That's awesome.
And so, like...
potions and things like that.
Yeah, exactly. So we can come in here. So let's look at some of the items here. Like, you have 7,000 coins. So let's see if there's anything we can buy with 7,000 coins. It looks like we can
buy
a shield. So
right.
Let's buy it. Purchase now.
Oh, you spent my coins.
Yeah. So, you know, you can always earn more by just playing.
That's right. I gotta put some more time into this, obviously.
Yeah. And so, you know, now you've got the shield spell. And so, like, let's cast that shield spell that boosts my, you know, my defensive abilities.
Got
you
it.
Know,
got
when
it.
I'm battling, it's easier.
When I fight that blue spot.
Yep. And so you can see down here,
SP low.
There's this, these stats. So I've got low.
And the little thermometers on the left there that show you your.
Yep. And so it says SP low, so my spell points are low. That means with the blue meter here, I don't have enough magic to cast another spell. So, like, you know, these games, you know, there's really a variety of them. Oops.
You guys have built a lot of the underlying platform. This is a platform that you guys have built.
Absolutely.
More or less.
Yeah.
Are there other components that you're using, though, like third-party components?
Sure. So we use JSON.net for talking with our server.
Obviously, there's a huge server aspect to this application.
Yep.
As with most of the most compelling games and experiences on the phone, there typically is going to be a server application behind it. And I think that's something that a lot of mobile developers don't realize up front when they start and investigate is that how critical that is to actually building these experiences that really, because that allows you the power to be dynamic. It lets you drive new behaviors based on what people do, and it lets you track information about what people are doing with your app, too.
Yeah, and we've sort of taken that concept of we want to track this anonymous information, and we've woven that into the game. So those stats that you see, you know, that's valuable for us and for the player. Like, the players, it's all about bragging rights.
I think we... let's go back.
It's like we fell asleep there.
There we go.
You know, it's all about bragging rights. But for us, we can infer all this information about, you know, like, how often people are playing our game. We can decide, you know, maybe we need to add a feature that makes their initial experience better.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, just recently we added in this daily rewards feature, you know, to sort of address that. You can come in here and, you know, it looks like we've already redeemed that today, but in 5 hours you'll be able to collect some free rewards again.
Yep. There's a lot of psychology to this, and in fact, some of the music and the sound effects have like an aspect of that I've noticed. Like there's sort of this ambient music. Did you guys compose that yourself, or did you?
Yeah, so we're four developers, and so all of this is sort of programmer art and programmer music.
It works.
The music, we found some Creative Commons music, actually.
Okay.
And then a lot of the sound effects, there's packs of sound effects that you can purchase online relatively inexpensively.
Okay.
So a lot of that comes from that, and just there's some procedural, sound effects synthesis tools that you can get that we've used for those. And some of them are frankly just like my Rock Band microphone plugged into my computer, like whing, and then you just filter it and.
That's interesting. That's really funny. I know there was a developer, an early game we had, Jelly Car, where the guy did all the sound effects, obviously as his voice.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was pretty humorous to see. So is there anything else in the game that you want to show us before we move on?
Or? So
I see there's different tiers here. And
yeah, so we could just kind of call it with the tiers. Like, as you get stars, you'll unlock these other tiers, and so you... We keep 50 games on the main list, and then...
But there's more.
Yeah, and so we keep producing these games, so then we kind of take the ones that are maybe least impressive or least fun, I guess, and we move them to the retired games. And some of these games are people's favorite games, and so you can still play them and still look at the leaderboards. It's just not...
How do these get unlocked?
So once you unlock the last tier, you'll unlock the retired
games.
Got it. Wow. And that didn't used to be that way, actually. We found out that we had it the other way around, where the retired games were unlocked right from the beginning. And, it occurred to us one day that, the first experience of our game probably shouldn't be the games we consider to be the least fun.
Right.
And so we decided to switch it around. And like, they're not fun games. These are just sort of some of the more simple games. Like, when we first started making games, they were... we kind of had this goal, like, we want to be able to make a game in, like, an hour or two, right?
Okay.
And so, they were really simple. Like, Ultra Tapper is a game where you just tap on the screen as fast as you can, and it counts the number of taps you can do in 30 seconds.
Okay.
Right? And so, like, that's not a complicated game, but you add in the leaderboards, and you add in the, you add in a few upgrades that you can purchase for that game.
Yeah.
Like, you can purchase something where there's a ball, there's a circle on the screen, and if you tap in that circle, you get double the taps. You get double the points. And so... You add in these extra elements where people can, maybe make some coins in Coin Miner, which is sort of a fan favorite game. You can mine for coins in that game, and then take those games over to Ultra Tapper and buy the upgrade in Ultra Tapper that gives you double the taps, and so now your score improves on the leaderboard because of that. And so it's those sort of things that we do. We're doing a lot of things now with this game called Craftitude that's built in here. I think it's in like maybe. Which tier is that in? It's one of the earlier games, but I don't think it's unlocked right off the bat. It's a game where you can go and
unlock.
You can go and you can combine different elements. We have consumable items, and so you can combine these items. And like, let's say you want to make some water.
Uh-huh.
Well, you might need to combine like an atom with blue. The color blue, and then that'll make water. Right, and then you take that water and you combine it with something else, and so like there's a whole game with doing that, and there's stats associated with it, how many cities did you produce and that sort of thing.
Right.
But then those things are all useful in other games. So then you go into Hyper Hoops and you're shooting baskets in Hyper Hoops, and
wow.
You can spend the fire one to make your balls on fire, and now you get double points on your balls.
That's awesome.
So it's those sort of things that we do to.
You guys obviously think about this quite a lot.
Oh yeah. We've been doing this for about a year now. One of the things that sort of sets us apart is that, this is an ever-evolving game. So, there is no end to Taptitude. It's like you get this game. We have people that have been playing the game for 400 days now.
And you were saying how many users you think?
So it's around 300,000 users.
That's awesome.
that have played it so far. And that's been accelerating. Like, you can see from the blog post, like, we had a really slow start,
Mm-hmm.
We didn't really... start hitting critical mass until maybe the last like 3 or 4 months, but then it kind of had this snowball effect where
you were actually making some assumptions around the Nokia phone releases being a big part of that.
Yeah, it's not easy for us to point at any one thing, but it did feel like our Nokia user base was accelerating in the same fashion as our overall user base.
Well, and we're excited about the devices. They're obviously very beautiful, well-crafted devices.
Yeah, so absolutely.
I think they are making a difference in user adoption. Would you like to jump into code a little bit and show us a little bit of some of the practices that you follow?
Yeah, sure. Let's just jump over here.
I think you'll need to hit escape on this one.
Okay.
And then you can...
So there's a game
whatever
called...
Whatever you're willing to share, obviously some of this is proprietary information.
Yeah, and, you know, one of the things I want to call out here is that, you know, there's a difference between writing production code for Microsoft and writing, mm-hmm. you know, your fun code for your hobby project, which mm-hmm. is what this is for us. And, you know, like when you sort of want to, with your hobby projects, just get to the core, like, you know, what you enjoy. And so for us, what we enjoy is writing, you know, the actual logic to these games. So we spent a lot of time before we ever started writing Taptitude making these systems so that we can focus more on
the platform
gameplay and, you know, focus on what the users care about and not worry about all these mundane details of, like, how do I draw a sprite to the screen, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we built these systems where a couple of interesting systems that people might not be super familiar with.
So what are we looking at here?
So this is a game. So all of our games are derived from this common, like, game screen class, and they integrate into the engine, so it's pretty easy to add a new game. And then what we're looking at here is the main what we call a sequence. So this is a type of method that is actually an I enumerable of I operation,
mm-hmm.
and then we have this system that that does something similar to, like, the async keyword in C#, where you can run the method, and then when you yield return an I operation, that may cause some time to pass. So, for instance, you could say, like right here, we're saying yield return this subsequence. So we have another method that, you know, this method will essentially stop right there until that method is, you know, that subsequence is complete, and when that's complete, it'll continue on.
Very much like async.
Yeah, it's exactly like it. It's just built on, since this is not a C# 5 app, it's built using the mechanisms that are available in C#4. And so this isn't something we invented by any stretch of the imagination, but it's something that works really well for
games. It's a coding pattern, it's a little bit more advanced coding pattern that
right.
You guys have leveraged to really improve the quality of your platform experience.
Yeah, and so, like, if you look at this, like, what does enter loot do? You know, it itself is a sequence, and, you know, we go and we create these sprites, and so we have a whole sprite system where you can have you know, a retained model for sprites, and then we have a animation system, so we can say, okay, now at this point I want you to run these three animations in parallel, and, you know, when the last one completes, then continue on. And so you can see here, like, we've got, you know, a declarative animation system very similar to, like, what you would have in Silverlight,
mm-hmm.
But, you know, this is in our own engine. It doesn't apply necessarily to properties, it applies to it has an apply method where mm-hmm. you can just specify, okay, I want this sprite's position to animate, you know, over these values, you know, and we have, you know, this is that progress transform thing we were talking about before, or
an
easing function where we have these, like, built-in easing functions that, you know, Snake is one of them that kind of accelerates and then decelerates.
Sure.
And so, you know, if you plot it out on a graph, it kind of looks like a little snake.
That's pretty awesome. So what game is, I mean, does this tie to one specific game here,
yeah,
this piece that we're looking at? Or?
Yeah, so what this game is a game called Follow Cup.
Okay.
In Follow Cup, you have three kind of, like, your college, you know, party cups, the red cups, you know, and they come out and they lift up and, like, a diamond goes under one of them and then there's bangs under the other.
Got it.
Then what happens is, you know, the cups rotate around, they swap places.
You have to find where the diamond is, right?
Exactly, and then you have to kind of track it with your eye visually, and then as you go through rounds, we start introducing more and more types of swaps. So, like, you know, when you want to swap 0 over 1, that means the first one with the second one, those
yeah.
swap, and then...
And so each one of these defines one of the animations.
Exactly. So we start introducing additional speed, and we introduce, like, more complex swapping. So we have these, like, rotations, we have, like, a fake swap where it'll start to swap and then go back to where it was.
This is a lot of really clever stuff that you guys did to really, you know, build your own framework that allows you to expand it over time, you know, to infinity, really.
Yeah, exactly. That's the plan.
That's awesome. I mean, you know, till the sun burns out. We'll have more Taptitude every year. I mean, is there anything else about the actual coding that you want to share? Or you know, because I want to ask you a little bit about marketing and merchandising and how you made money with your app.
Yeah, I think, I mean, with the coding, like the thing that if I could just give out advice to other developers,
please,
is to, you know, not be, you know, not worry about being architecturally pure about everything you do. Like, this is supposed to be your fun hobby project, and like maybe it'll turn into a business one day.
Yeah.
But like, you know, we didn't start Taptitude to make money. We started Taptitude because, you know, Thursday nights is our coding night, and we wanted to, you know, do something that the world would see, right? And so,
do you guys all get together, or do you just all working on the internet?
And yeah, so I guess we kind of skipped over. I should call out my brothers.
Yes, because you are one part of
exactly
the four brothers.
My oldest brother, Steve Furtwängler, he lives in Michigan, actually, so
okay.
We sort of work with him, you know, over the continent. You know, a lot of coordination using OneNote on SkyDrive is kind of our preferred method.
Okay.
And then...
good call out to some Microsoft.
Yeah,
problems.
Exactly. It works really well. You know, we can all edit the same OneNote. And
where you just sort of specify what you're doing and who's doing what. And...
Yeah, we do it as a combination of, you know, tracking tasks, throwing out ideas. We have a list of, like, you know, future game ideas that we want to pursue.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we sort of like, it's almost like our mini, like, spec, you know, repository just all in this OneNote.
Wow.
And so then we, you know, I have two younger brothers, Nathan Furtwängler and Tyler Furtwängler, that also work here at Microsoft. And so, you know, generally the three of us will get together on Thursday nights and work on it and then coordinate with Steve remotely.
Awesome. So let's get back before we close. I mean, we don't have a lot of time left, but I do want to talk to you about what are the things you're doing? You're making a lot of money. I mean, I think I saw $1,000 a day in some cases.
Yeah, I mean, it's more now than we released that blog.
Yeah,
so,
wow.
Yeah,
I mean, that's quite a lot. Some people could retire, I mean, with money like that if they wanted to.
Yeah.
What are you doing? I mean, clearly, probably the main thing, and you tell me if I'm wrong here, that you're doing is you've built this experience that draws people in, that keeps people coming back for more.
Right. So the key is, I mean, there's not a magic bullet where if you do this, you're going to make money. You know, the key is, like, if you're targeting ad revenue, mm-hmm. then it's all about getting impressions, right?
So, yep.
You know, what you want is, you know, you want to provide an experience where your users want to come back every day and they want to invest time in your game. And so, mm-hmm. you know, if you have a single game, like if you just pick any one of these games, it wouldn't make any money at all because the user would get bored with it and then they might play it for a day or two. And so you would have to essentially ride this wave of users, you know, of new users coming in to make any money, and then that's going to burn out pretty quick. And so, like, you know, a lot of these, like, if you look at the revenue curves of most mobile games, is, you know, it's very much like a Gaussian curve in the, like, the first 2 months, mm-hmm. you know, or maybe even less than that, maybe the first month, where it trails off to almost nothing after the first month. And so for us, you know, it's important that our users, like, want to keep coming back. And so if we just keep adding things to the game, that gives them some new experience to, you know, that they can leverage their previous experience. You know, like, I make some coins here, now this new game's out, and now I have a great, you know, opportunity to spend my coins.
Right.
So there's things that you can do like that. That.
But you're tracking the data quite a lot, too. I mean, you're following, you've got your server application that you're hosting out there. Are you using Azure or some other?
Yeah, you know, initially we looked at different options for the server. Azure was one that we looked at, and, you know, at the time the price of it kind of you know, we weren't making any money
There's a lot of work going on to figure out the pricing structure there. I think.
Yeah, I think they've even made changes since we looked at it last. So, you know, and that's something we'll probably look at in the future as we scale up. Like, we're running into scaling issues.
Sure.
And so, you know, we've already made some upgrades. I should give another call out to our friend Reza, who, you know, lets us essentially use one of his servers. He gave us a VM, and that's where we host our web services.
Okay.
And so, you know, we've been doing these web services, using C#, you know, the ASP stack.
Sure.
And, you know, and basically, you know, we write our own web services for doing leaderboards, stats, redeem codes. You know, we're working on some new stuff for doing async gaming, where we're going to be able to track sessions and that sort of thing. And so, like, you know, a lot of our time is invested on the server and it's kind of behind the scenes and the users don't necessarily see it.
But it's instrumental to you understanding what people are doing and what works and what doesn't work, right?
And so, you know, some people call it analytics. We call it telemetry, where it's basically we send up anonymous data, like things that you wouldn't care about, like how many times did you click on this button right here, right?
Like,
you know, the user doesn't care about that necessarily, but you know, we look at that and we can see, okay, look, people are playing this game and they're not playing that game and they're pretty much comparable games. So, like, what is it about this game?
Sure.
Okay, like, they like this aspect of it. Let's do more of that next time around. You know, the other part of this is that, you know, the users themselves kind of are interested. We you know, we released some data and, you know, people were interested in it. And so, like...
Well, we saw that in your blog post. You guys talked actively about, you know, what's coming in terms of usage and ad impressions and so
forth.
Yeah,
and that helps the community, right? Like, it's not just, you know, a pure marketing thing. Like, you know, for me to know what another app is doing in terms of, you know, revenue or in terms of, you know, richer data, like, that helps everybody. And so, like, you can kind of bring the whole community up by, you know, I encourage other developers out there to sort of release whatever information they have, you know, in an anonymous way. Because there's just a lot of, like, things you can learn from that.
And you do a lot of other things as well to market your app. You have a website, you have a blog. And there's a wiki.
There's a wiki.
Which we'll link to.
Yeah, so we should...
you could quickly show it.
We could quickly show that.
In the browser.
So one of our users actually started this wiki and then...
That's the truth. You've truly arrived as a game platform if you've got a wiki, I think.
Yeah. I think so, too.
I think of Skyrim and Taptitude in the same category of games now, right?
I think so, yeah. I think you can draw that conclusion from this. But, you know, like, one of our users just spent a ton of time, or a few, I shouldn't say one of our users. You can look at the
There's a few people
logs
wiki,
on it.
So, yeah.
Yeah, and so, like, they just sort of put in all of this information, and they emailed us and said, hey, can we have some images, you know? And so we sent them a pack of images, and so, like, you can come on here and so, like, I mentioned Craftitude before. So just to give you an idea of, like, the sort of richness of our virtual economy. Like, let's say you want to build a...
Do you guys have coin mining going on in China yet with Taptitude?
No, but we do have a game called Coin Miner. And, you know, it's all about tapping on a screen and finding, you know, finding coins and diamonds and things.
Yeah.
And so...
No pirate economy going yet? And
there could be. For all I know, you know, people are doing that sort of thing. But so, like, you know, an example of something you might want to do is, like, let's say you want to make you want to craft a snake, right? Like, you know, if you don't know how to do that, then we don't tell you the recipe for that. You have to discover that.
Wow.
And so, like, you know, part of this was, you know, this when we first launched it was, like, there was a sort of gold rush to see who could get the first city, because there's a stat for cities. And then, like, you know, in doing that, a lot of people coordinated on this wiki and said, oh, I know the recipe for this, and I know the recipe for this. And we also added in this Twitter link where you can post to Twitter, and we used the Twitter or the social task so that we can share out, like, hey, I discovered a recipe, you know, snake is darkness plus worm.
Wow.
Right? And then so you can come on here now that the community has built up this sort of database of these things, you can come in here and see, like, okay, well, if I get the snake, then I need these things to produce that snake, and then I can use them, you know, to produce these other things. You know, so, like, from a snake, I can make a lizard, right? And so I think they even hyperlinked these. Yep.
That's pretty amazing.
And so, you know, and these things get
you
used
guys are
the
perfect example of just taking, obviously, there's a passion here behind this, right?
Oh,
and
absolutely.
You've taken that passion and it's crystallized into this experience that's very, very successful on the phone.
Yeah. I think that's the key is to have, you know, be passionate about your game. Like, we're not doing this for other people. We're making games we like, and you know, and success will come, you know, will follow from that.
Well, I'm really glad we got the opportunity to talk today.
Yeah, it was great.
And look for a lot more great things from you guys in the future.
Great. So I don't know if we're going to put links out on the blog.
We'll put all sorts of links on the page that people will be able to get to all this information, be able to download your game and see what Taptitude's all about for themselves. Thank you very much for your time, Brandon. I'm Larry Lieberman. See you next time on Inside Windows Phone. We'll be right back.